You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to this episode of the Business of Practice podcast, where we focus on the business and human sides of equine veterinary medicine. In this episode, we're going to talk with Drs. Kim Allshaus and Kyle Clark about their experiences with pursuing an alternative track residency. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Grice, business consultant and former equine practice owner. The Business of Practice podcast is brought to you in 2025 by Care Credit. Dr. Kim Allshaus is originally from Daggett Mines, Pennsylvania. She grew up riding and competing, after which she attended Johnson & Wales University. She then built a career caring for and training horses in barns in the United States as well as Germany. She decided to pursue a career in veterinary medicine after several years of working professionally in the equine industry. Dr. Allshaus graduated from veterinary school at the University of Wisconsin in 2018, after which she completed an internship at Texas A&M. Dr. Allshaus practiced general equine medicine in the greater Boston area for several years before deciding to focus exclusively on dentistry at Northeast Equine Veterinary Dental Services in Topsfield, Massachusetts. She is pursuing an alternative track residency, seeking to become a diplomat of the American Veterinary Dental College. In her free time, she and her partner Matt enjoy hiking, scuba diving, traveling, and exploring New England. Dr. Kyle Clark was born and raised in Chester County, Pennsylvania. He obtained his bachelor's in science in animal science and wildlife biology from the University of Delaware, and then attended the University of Pennsylvania School of Veterinary Medicine, where he was awarded the New Bolton Center Patient Care Award. Dr. Clark went on to complete a year-long rotating internship at the University of Tennessee's Large Animal Hospital. He was an associate at Chicago Equine Hospital for several years before joining Mid-Atlantic Equine Medical Center in Ringgoes, New Jersey in 2018. He is pursuing an alternative track residency, seeking to become a diplomat of the American College of Veterinary Sports Medicine and Rehabilitation. In his free time, he enjoys spending time with his wife, Katie, and their dog, Libby, and cats, Gus and Charlie. He enjoys hiking, traveling, and spending time outdoors. Welcome, Drs. Allshaus and Clark.
Hi, Amy.
Hi, Amy.
Good to see you guys. So you're both pursuing an alternative track residency. And so how did you decide that this was the right route for you? Dr. Allshaus?
I actually kind of fell into dentistry. I was very lucky that when I was at the University of Wisconsin, our dentistry courses were taught by Travis Henry and Molly Rice, who Travis was boarded at that point, and Molly was well on her way. So I got really good mentorship from them. And then after failing to get the two private practice internships that I wanted, I decided to throw my name into the match, though I was absolutely convinced I would never do a residency nor live in academia. So I went for field service only, and I ended up down at Texas A&M, and my mentor down there in charge of field services, Cleet Griffin, had actually just become boarded in dentistry. So I got...
It was really just lucky. Meant to be.
It was a little serendipitous, and I was up here and I was practicing general medicine. And there was a lot that I liked about it, and there was a lot that I didn't. And all of a sudden, Dr. Lamone had an opening, and I thought, well, that sounds like a really great idea. Dentistry days were always my favorite days, so why not make that every day?
Yeah, you know, when you have a favorite day, what a great, you know, make it every day, right?
Yep.
How about you, Dr. Clark?
I was kind of similar. I went into vet school kind of wanting to become a veterinarian and a large animal, hopefully equine veterinarian, but wasn't really in the show circuit very much and didn't really ride competitively, kind of rode horses, liked being at the barn, and that was kind of it. And even when I say I rode horses, it was probably about a year and a half, 2 years that I rode horses. So that was about it for me. I was an athlete in undergrad and really enjoyed my time rowing for University of Delaware and, you know, trying to be competitive mainly with myself and push myself further and further. And then got into vet school, which was always the dream since I was a kid, and kind of loved imaging, physiology, pathology, anatomy. All of those subjects were kind of my favorites always. And then I kind of had this like figure it out type mentality where it was just, you know, what's wrong with the horse and how can I help and fix it? And, you know, a lot of the trainers that I work with now kind of have that similar mentality where it's, you know, what's wrong with the horse and what can we do to fix it? And, you know, I thought at first maybe I wanted to be a surgeon and then didn't really love being in the OR, and didn't feel like I needed to be in the OR to be happy. You know, my first job post internship was at Chicago Equine, which is mostly sports med and surgery. And, I got good mentorship there, and really enjoyed my time with them. And they kind of pushed me to be better at the imaging and the sports medicine side of things and kind of gave me a shot, with that. And, you know, I moved over to the East Coast, joined Mid-Atlantic and wasn't really an essential hire for them. They didn't need another associate at the time. And so when I joined on, they asked me if I was interested in doing a residency, and I told them yes. That was, you know, a really strong interest of mine, was to learn more and be better at that topic. So I kind of just fell into it that way a little bit too.
The Business of Practice podcast is brought to you by Care Credit. Care Credit keeps equine veterinarians at the heart of care by providing horse owners with simple, budget-friendly financing options. By helping to bridge the gap between costs and care, Care Credit supports healthy financial relationships between veterinarians and their clients. Clients have a flexible way to pay over time for all types of care, and practices get paid in 2 business days. It's a payment experience everyone can feel good about.
You know, it seems like both of you had started your private practice careers and were like, you know, you were working as veterinarians, which is like the traditional residency. You know, gosh, you do an internship and then you stay in academia and keep going, right? So do you think that the fact that you were already out in practice influenced your choice of an alternative track rather than like going back?
Yeah, I think so. For me, I think it was, you know, a little bit daunting to go back to school again after having
make any money and yeah.
I don't think I would have gone back.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, I think there's a lot of practitioners in the same shoes that you're in that are like are really interested in learning more and gaining that. And that's where these alternative tracks come in. What did you find has been the most challenging thing about the residency, Dr. Clark?
For me, it's a lot of travel, unfortunately. I'm at a private practice that has a surgeon or a few surgeons and an internist, and that's about it. So I spend a lot of my residency time externally from my home practice. And so that's the hardest part. It takes a major toll on your personal life. It takes a major toll on your work life even as well. And so that's the difficulty for me has been a lot of travel time, unfortunately.
How many weeks are you away at a time or over the course of the year?
My wife and my clients won't tolerate more than 2 weeks at a time. So I usually am away for two and then home for a couple at least, and then away for two and home for a couple. And I try and break it up a little bit. And obviously, the organizational aspects of my residency are a little bit challenging. So, you know, my personal obligations come first, and then my work obligations come second, and then my residency comes third. And I have fitted in where I can, to the best of my ability.
Where do you mostly go?
I traveled to Michigan, to Traverse City, and then to Thermal, California a lot for residency time. I work with East West Equine out there with Lori Bidwell and Duncan Peters mostly. And they've been gracious enough to host me with my time for them. And, you know, they're very nice to help me with my residency as much as they have. And it's been great.
What about you, Dr. Alsos? What's been most challenging for you?
For me, it's time is definitely a big factor. I'm working full-time as an associate and then also full-time as a resident, which is challenging. I'm lucky because my mentor is, I mean, I still have to travel and I actually enjoy it. I mean, I don't have to travel nearly as much as you do, Dr. Clark. But so I enjoy it. I enjoy going to see a different clinic, but it doesn't happen, because I get most of the things that I need pretty locally. For me,
How much travel for you?
It's going to ramp up this year because I'm nearing the end. But it's, I mean, I was just away and I'm getting ready to leave again this week to go out to visit Travis and Molly to see a case. I don't know. Last month I had to go to Cornell for a case. So, but it's fun. I think it's fun, but, I think for me, the biggest issue is just the time management. It's a lot of independent study, which for me personally, I have to really stay on top of myself. There's a massive amount of information and you don't have anyone telling you when you should be finished with covering all of that information. And I don't know how any of the other residency programs work, but I mean, there's not very many people sitting boards for the dental residency.
Like, right.
I will be the only one doing it the year that I take it. So it's me hoping that I get all of the studying done that I need to get done in an appropriate manner.
Yeah.
What's the biggest challenge, but what's the most fun thing about your residency?
For me, one of the things is I get to travel a little bit and see different clinics and get different experiences. It's definitely fun just improving your skills and watching your skill set get better. But also just I get to teach a lot during all of this. And I love that. We get to have students. I was just at OEPS teaching the dental lab. I've helped teach a couple of CEs. And I think it's so fun. And it also has opened up a couple of things that I never thought I'd have the opportunity to do. Like I got to do an oral exam on a giraffe, you know, and who
cool.
knew?
Cool. That's so cool.
You know, we get the occasional call from a zoo or things like that. And that's just so fun. Right.
Yeah. As long as it's not like a lion.
Yeah. Carnivores are different.
They'd be anesthetized. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, we don't do anesthesia for any of those animals.
Right. Yeah.
I don't think I can compete with that. A giraffe dental is pretty cool. I think, you know, I like traveling as well, but it's a little bit much for me sometimes. But the biggest part for me also is, I mean, I get to travel around the country and see the way different people do things. And to me, that's always interesting to, you know, see somebody do, you know, I don't know, a coffin joint injection or some kind of injection or procedure that, you know, you don't do too many of, and see kind of how they're doing it. And then you go to somewhere else and you see how they do it. And just having different options of how you do different procedures and kind of what that person does differently and is successful doing. And then you go and see somebody else do it a different way. And they're also very successful. And so that's always been something that's very interesting to me in general. Learning 3, 4, 5 ways to do something lends itself to you having options if your way doesn't work. And I think, you know, I've met a lot of really cool people, had a lot of cool experiences throughout my residency time. And, you know, I don't think I would trade that aspect of it, but yeah.
And meeting all the people, like, I would imagine that because of all the travel and the teaching opportunities that Gosh, you know, we are a very small segment, the equine practitioners. I mean, there's not very many. It's like 5,000 in the less than 5,000 in the United States. And so you get to meet a bunch of them and expand your circle. Dr. Clark, if you were talking to another practitioner who is considering an alternative track residency, what kind of advice would you give them?
I think for me, it would just be make sure it's what you want to do. It's a long road. It's often a challenging path with little internal structure built into it. And so you kind of have to stay on top of it, be committed to it, and just make sure in general that you're not getting behind. You know, my residency advisor early on told me, don't get behind on things, you know, your case logs, your reading, whatever it is, because it's very difficult to make that time up. And you only have a certain amount of time to do the residency in. And, you know, 6 years sounds like a long time. But when you're doing it kind of like Kim and I are, where it's full time, you know, position as an associate vet and then full time resident, it's challenging to make the time to do everything that you need to do. And get it done in that amount of time. So, you know, even if you get a week or two behind, sometimes I feel the stress of that often. So just making sure that you're organized, you start out organized and then stay organized throughout the process is probably the biggest thing.
Yeah, I would need something written down. I would need a plan, you know,
get good mentors, you know, I mean, that's a big part of it too, is making sure that you have the right people around you to do it and be successful at doing it.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Dr. Alshouse? What advice would you give somebody?
I would say that make sure that it's something that you love doing, because you're going to be spending a lot of time doing it. Make sure that it's something that you really love, and make sure that it's something that also offers a lifestyle that you really love. You know, make sure that, I mean, you might really love something, but at the end of the day, maybe being repro vet, the lifestyle of it isn't really what you thought it was going to be, you know? So, I mean, I picked a good one. Like, I don't have to deal with emergencies. I don't have to deal with any of that. So, for me, that's a big, huge bonus and just makes teeth all the better. But I would say make sure that it's something that you really, really want to dedicate your time to, and that you're okay with, you know, that being what you do and being the guy that does that and is really good at it.
You know, you don't think repro 7 days a week for 6 months of the year is like,
It's not my jam. It's somebody's jam. It's not my jam.
But man, I used to do that. I used to do that. It was,
and there
a
are people.
Lot.
You know what? I could see the appeal of doing that and then traveling for 6 months.
Foals, like foals. Yeah, that's the appeal. They're awfully cute. They really are. Dr. Alshouse, is there anything that you'd like to share with our listeners that you haven't told us that would make alternative track residency more dear and near to their hearts?
I would just say that, you know, a traditional road isn't always a better road. Sometimes when you come at something from a different angle, you get a perspective that no one else can offer. And don't think I'm too old or I'm not smart enough. I mean, if I can do it, anybody can do it.
You're plenty smart. Dr. Clark.
Kim, I love your answers. I feel the exact same way. I think in general, you know, I've learned from everybody, from the grooms that I deal with to the trainers to the owners. I mean, everybody has different experiences. And, you know, the advantage for me is that in private practice, the number of cases that I've seen that don't necessarily fit the bill for sports medicine case, but they kind of tie in somehow. And there's other, you know, there's other experiences that you gain from being an alternative track resident that, you know, if you're in academia, you're getting those types of cases, and that's kind of referral population, and that may be it. And I think that, you know, I've had the advantages of learning from everybody, you know, like I said, grooms, technicians, assistants, specialists, general practitioners. I feel like we learn from everybody, and everybody has different experiences. And so, you know, for me, it's just the volume of information coming at me on a daily basis is so much higher. And it's I think, somewhat beneficial to me in my career as well, because, you know, how many of us have gone out to see a lameness and it's an abscess? And it's like, okay, well, if you're looking for the shoulder lameness, it's an abscess. Like, it's going to be a little bit more challenging, you know? I've had the reverse too. You go out for what's suspected an abscess and it's a shoulder fracture. So, you know, it goes both ways. But I think in general, just learn from everybody as much as you can.
Yeah, you know, I hadn't thought about that perspective of, you know, when you are out in practice and you're doing your residency sort of not in that referral setting, like there's a broader range of experiences. That was something I hadn't actually considered till you said that. And it's so true. And if you want to talk about foot abscesses and expecting them, I remember two very clearly, and they were both at the same farm. The first one, I was expecting the foot abscess, and it was a very badly broken coffin bone. And the second time, I was expecting a foot abscess, and it was a fractured pastern. So there you go. You know, you never know until you get there.
Yeah.
Thank you both so much for joining us today. And thank all of our listeners for joining us for the Business of Practice podcast. And a big thanks to our sponsor, Care Credit. And to all my listeners out there, be brave, embrace change.